There is no denying that the UGA Bulldogs are a great football team this year. Overall, they're ranked number 7. That's after a spell at number 1. Also, they stand a great chance of making the college football playoffs for the first time ever. But here's one way in which the Bulldog team is not so hot. They rank dead last in the SEC when it comes to graduation rates for their student athletes. Kind of important. This is happening while the University of Georgia's overall student graduation rates are way up. So what is going on here? Joining us now to explain is Eric Kelderman, senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Hi, Eric.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing all right. Also with us, professor of sports journalism at UGA itself, Vicky Michaelis. Hi, Vicky.
Good morning.
Eric, I said that the graduation rate for the UGA football team is low. It's more specific than that. The metric we're talking about here is called the graduation success rate. Can you explain what that is?
Sure. That's a method that the NCAA developed in about 2002, 2003 to counter what the federal government usually uses to track the graduation rate, which is only to count first-time, full-time freshmen as part of the graduation cohort that's eventually measured. And the problem with that, as colleges across the country will tell you, and not just for athletics, is that it doesn't count students who transfer in and out of an institution or part-time students. The graduation success rate counts all the athletes who get athletic financial aid and their graduation rate, and it also it adjusts the measure for students who transfer out, and it accepts into a school's cohort the students who transfer in.
So do you think that it's a more accurate measure of just how well student-athletes are doing in school than other available metrics?
I mean, yes and no. It's better than what we call the IPEDS rate, the way the federal government tracks graduation, in that it accepts students in. The problem with it is it doesn't really account for what happens to those students when they transfer out. It doesn't ensure that those students finish their degree at another institution. And so in that sense, it is a bit flawed. We don't really track all the individuals, and yet the school gets credit for the students who transfer in.
So and as we said, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, so, you know, like any number, right, you have to look what goes into that number. And this number is a little bit better than the IPEDS rate, but it could be even better than it is.
Well, for what it's worth, as we said, the graduation success rate among the University of Georgia football team is dead last in the SEC, dead last. Vicky Michaelis, you teach at UGA. What do you think's going on here?
Well, I mean, I think it goes back to ground level academic support. I, you know, came from the journalistic world, and I covered University of Miami and University of Colorado football teams back in the early 90s. So I've been on that side where I've covered that side, and now I'm on the inside, and I have athletes in my classes. And so I see what the academic support looks like up close. And I can tell you that if you look at the teams that are doing really well in this study, the women's gymnastics, swimming and diving here at UGA, I see really strict academic support for those athletes. I see academic advisors getting in touch with me when those athletes have issues. I see them tracking attendance. I see all of that. I don't see that much as much with football, and I've had football athletes in my classes. Now, that's anecdotal. I teach one class,
sure.
So I think it would need to be studied across the university.
But I can tell you, as a journalism professor myself down here at Mercer in Macon, athletes take a lot of journalism classes. A lot of them hope that they could potentially have a career covering sports after they get done playing them. So we see a lot of athletes in our classes. And certainly one thing that I've learned is just how difficult their life is, how much work is expected of them, both on the team and then in the classroom. Let's hear from current NFL player Richard Sherman about the stress of managing a busy schedule when you're a student athlete.
You wake up in the morning, you have weights at this time. Then after weights, you go to class. And after class, you go try to grab you a quick bite to eat. Then after you get your quick bite to eat, you go straight to meetings. And after meetings, you got practice. And after practice, you got to try to get all the work done you had throughout the day. You got from your lectures and from your focus groups. You know, show me how you're going to get all your work done when you get out at 7:30 or so. You got to test the next day. You're dead tired from practice, and you still have to study just as hard as everybody else every day and get all the same work done.
It just sounds unmanageable. Eric Kelderman with the Chronicle of Higher Education. In college football programs or just any elite college athletic program where there's a lot of pressure on students, what does a good academic support system look like?
Well, that's a great question. I want to say that a great academic support system, you know, look, colleges are spending, in some cases, tens of millions of dollars to support their student athletes. If you look at, for instance, Oregon or Ohio State or the University of Texas, I'm sure there are schools that are competitive with that in the SEC as well. They have, in many cases, dedicated facilities. In many cases, the athletes are getting, special tutoring that is not available to the rest of the student population. Oftentimes, they might get technology that's special just for them. They might get an iPad or a laptop or something that's just for them. But I want to say, you know, I know this isn't the question you're asking, but a lot of this has to do with recruiting of prepared students or students who are maybe underprepared for the college experience.
Yeah, that sounds like a very credible explanation for what we're talking about. We're talking about how the UGA football team, the Bulldogs, are doing quite well on the field this year, but a new report indicates that they are dead last in the SEC when it comes to a key metric of academic success, the graduation success rate. We're talking to Eric Kelderman, senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Also with us, Vicky Michaelis, professor of sports journalism at UGA. Vicky, like I said, you know, I teach down here at Mercer where we have a new football team. And even though Mercer is a Division I school, it's not an elite football program. I don't think that many of the athletes that I see in my classes are planning to go on to a career in athletics. And as a result, they tend to take their studies pretty seriously because they know they need to get ready for normal jobs. But at a place like UGA, you've got a lot of players who I imagine are headed for the NFL. Does it really matter if they do that well in school? Maybe that's not really what they're there to do.
Unfortunately, I don't think there's a culture of expectation that they do well in school. And I think that has to do with the sport overall starting, you know, much before they get to college. If you look at the NCAA puts out probability of college athletes going onto the pros, the probability for pro football is 1.5%.
Ouch.
So I think if I were a college athlete in football, I might look at that a little more seriously and think, you know, maybe I should be doing something here. But again, I hate to lay this at the feet of only the athletes, because I do think there is a culture that's in this sport that starts long, long before they get to college. And it's something we need to look at as a society.
Well, as a member of the UGA faculty, what do you want to see your institution do to help student athletes be more successful?
I'd like to see, I think, again, I'm just basing it on my one class. I'd like to see tighter controls on how they're doing in the classroom and whether they're showing up and whether they're doing the work.
What do you mean by that?
Like
how can the team control that?
Well, they do have, so they have a system where they have student checkers who see that they're in class, but I think that's probably rife for some problems. The way I run my class is you have to take a quiz when you get there, and if you don't take the quiz, it means you're not there, right?
Yeah.
So I know when people aren't there, whether the student checkers tell you they're there or not. And I haven't, and again, I'm basing this on one class, and so I just want to make that clear.
Sure.
I haven't had academic advisors then follow up with me and say, hey, what's going on with this student athlete? What can this student athlete be doing better? And, you know, when you heard what Richard Sherman was talking about, they do have a lot going on. They should get academic support because of how much they have to give to the university in so many other ways. And so I think there should be a better system of checking in with these athletes on a regular basis. How is your workload? You know, what kinds of things can we help you with time management wise? Can we be giving you more time over here or over there? What kind of things can we be doing when we travel? You know, whatever the case may be, I don't know their day-to-day reality. But I do think that it just takes vigilance.
Right. So that's the carrot that the team or the university has to encourage good academic conduct on the part of student athletes. I suppose the stick is that the teams can say, listen, if you're not making a solid B in this class, I'm not going to let you on the field. Is that a thing that other teams do?
I think I'm going to have to turn to Eric on that one. I don't know of a lot of teams that have a certain GPA you have to reach. Eric, do you know?
I don't know team specific. I know NCAA eligibility rules, you know, require, depending on what year you are in school, between a 1.8 and a 2.0 grade point average overall, and you have to reach a certain number of credits every year. But what kind of classes are you taking to get that GPA? There have been numerous instances of athletes taking summer courses to make up their GPA, courses that were not sufficiently rigorous or really deserving of college credit. We've reported on that. Certainly the massive academic scandal that we've seen play out at UNC that took place over 20 years, where students were turning in papers, you know, that were being graded by a secretary in some cases that had very little input with a faculty member. So the system is far from perfect. And I want to say, you know, when the University of Georgia is going out and recruiting football players, it's looking for a great football player who can meet the NCAA's eligibility standards. It is not looking for the best student who might be able to survive on the football field. And I think that's a big distinction we need to consider.
Sure. I suppose it does raise the perennial debate over whether or not athletes, college athletes, should be compensated financially for their work. They're expected to give to their university in terms of their time and their performance on the field, and then they're expected to perform it at a high level in the classroom. In the last 30 seconds that we have here, Eric, do you think that compensating athletes more materially would help with this problem?
I think it would help in some cases, sure. I think if you could relieve, many of these students are coming from low-income families, right? And to relieve their concern about, you know, their own personal financial situation, or in some cases they're helping to support family members. So potentially it would free up their, you know, it would lower their stress level, sure.
Right. That's Eric Kelderman, senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education. Also with us was Vicky Michaelis, professor of sports journalism at UGA. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Just ahead, we add a couple more songs to our Georgia playlist, this time from violinist Ken Ford. Stay with us.